Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with...
Here with Marcus Moore.
And this was quite a task, but we, you know, the Straight Outta Compton movie's coming into movie theaters this weekend.
Right.
I'll have my review tomorrow, so look for that. But we figured it'd be a perfect time to go back and look at the greatest hip-hop songs of all time. So, Marcus, how did we put together 100? I don't know, but there were some tough calls in there.
Yeah, there were some pretty tough calls. I think there were some songs in that didn't make it, and we're probably still going to have discussions after the fact. But
yeah, send your hate mail.
Yeah, but I think we still ended up with a pretty robust list, you know. So we'll see what goes on with it when it goes up.
Yeah, we tried to balance old school versus new school. Admittedly, if it had to slant anywhere, it's probably a little older school just because of where we grew up. But we tried to balance it out.
Yeah. I mean, we did what we could. I mean, it's like, for me especially, I know I live in the old school. I live in like the 80s and 90s. So it's like I felt like a lot of that stuff had to go on there. And a lot of the newer stuff, I could understand why it was on there. But, you know, my old school self is like, well, I don't, you know, maybe that should kind of go later in the list or something like that. Well,
plus there's something to be said. There's some points for originality, too. If you're the one that invented something and then, you know, and then it's sampled right. A million times later, then maybe you should be the one that gets credit for it.
That's true.
But yeah, we also tried, you know, in addition to old school, new school, we tried to balance, you know, mainstream hits, maybe some popular tunes at the club or on the radio. Also with some more obscure things that were very influential as well.
Yeah, that's true. We did a lot of that. I think we did a good job representing all of that. You know, we have some club bangers on there. We have some super old school stuff. We have some, you know, sort of like 90s, like 90s, 2000s sort of music on there. So I think we did a good job of mixing it up, having some of the hardcore stuff on there with some of the lighter fare as well.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's get to the list. The full 100 is on WTOP.com on the entertainment page. So scroll down and check that out. But for right now, let's break down the top 10.
Let's do it. We're starting for 10. We starting
yeah,
from 10 going
number
all
10. This was tough, but we felt like we had to get Tupac in here. So we went with Keep Your Head Up.
Keep Your Head Up. Yeah. Okay, personally, Tupac, I'm more of a Biggie guy. I'm more of a Notorious B.I.G. guy.
I was pushing for the Pac, full disclosure.
Exactly. So this is more of a concession on my part, right. But I can totally understand why Keep Your Head Up is on there above some of the other songs like Dear Mama, I Get Around, things like that. So I think it's probably the best one of his bunch.
Yeah, I really like the positive message of the song. I mean, yeah. I know I Get Around is, you know, about his promiscuity and stuff. So I don't know. I Keep Your Head Up. It's a really empowering message for women.
That's true.
There's some good lines in there where he's talking about, you know, we all came from a woman and got a name for our woman. So why do we hate our women? Why do we rape our women? Why do we, you know, it's a really empowering message for women, which a lot of rap, I think, could use more of that.
That's true. I think it definitely has a good message. But again, that kind of goes back to some of my criticisms of Tupac anyway.
The hypocritical stuff
where it's like, okay, you have that song, but then you turn and you do something totally different. Right. So, you know.
Like Hit 'Em Up, which was the the ultimate diss, but very misogynistic as well. The way he goes after in the diss is very degrading to women. So
yeah, exactly. But at the same time, it's actually a diss record, you know. Yeah. So I can appreciate it for that
yeah,
regard.
Tupac was always kind of a double-sided coin in a way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he was, you know. At least Biggie kind of kept the same tone for the most part.
Consistent. Well, that's a good transition because Biggie comes in at number 9.
He does.
We have the Pac and Biggie back to back. It's kind of fitting, I guess. But number 9, Notorious B.I.G., Juicy.
Yes. This was his first single. This is the first time we ever heard or seen anything about Biggie. This is the first time I can remember seeing a Biggie video and really being intrigued enough to go to the record store at the time. Remember those record stores? You go to the record store.
It was next to your video store.
I know.
Right on the Blockbuster.
And buy the tape. You know, I was really, really intrigued by it. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a good song.
It's a great song, and I think there's a great, not only is a great beat, but it pays homage to some of the guys that came before, you know, Salt and Peppa and Heavy D up in the limousine, and then later, what did he say, Marley Marl?
Marley Marl,
yeah. So there's a lot of, he pays homage, which is great.
Yeah.
But also, while creating a great, you know, his own thing, his own track.
Exactly. And it also set a trend for Biggie and for the whole Diddy and Biggie dynamic where he pretty much just took an old beat. Like, he didn't do a whole lot to it. and just rapped on it and made it his own. Now I can't listen to the original without thinking about Biggie. So, you know, you with that song, you saw a lot of what he and Diddy were going to be in the years to come.
Absolutely. Best line? What do you think? Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis?
When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many good Biggie songs, but I think if there's a career song, it's probably that one.
Probably so, yeah.
All right. Number 8. Dougie Fresh and the Get Fresh Crew. Yes. Lottie Dottie.
Yes.
Marcus fought hard for this one.
Okay, and I'll explain. All right. If you've been following hip-hop or if you're a student of hip-hop, you know that it's one of the first songs. It's one of the first, like, party songs. Like, it's a party song without being overly raucous or anything. It's simply Dougie Fresh beatboxing, Slick Rick rapping. And it's just really good. It's one of those where, especially now that music has come back to the 80s, it still sounds good. It still sounds relevant.
The retro sound is going to keep this thing
the
going.
The retro sound has come back. So, yeah, no, Lottie Dottie, it's like it has to be in the top 10. It's one of the greatest ever, man. It's one of the greatest.
Well, and I think when you're, you know, when you're going down our list and clicking through and, you know, click the video for this one, I think that's what's going to jump out is the beatboxing.
Yep.
It's they're creating it all right there.
Right there on the spot.
All right. So after Dougie Fresh, that's at number 8. Now we're at number 7. Run DMC and Aerosmith, Walk This Way. This is a legendary tune.
It is a legendary tune. It's one of the first crossover tunes, if not the first crossover tune, actually, where you had Run DMC, who was getting bigger and bigger at the time. They were already a notable group. Mm-hmm. But then once they started linking up with Aerosmith and doing more of the rap rock thing, that just totally pushed them into the other stratosphere. And they... It showed that they're really good at marketing because they were really big with the Adidas and things of that nature. Right, the Adidas, and they had Aerosmith on the song. So I think they're the first commercial hip-hop group. And so you combine Run DMC and Aerosmith, you can't go wrong. It's really one of the great songs of all time.
Yeah, Aerosmith did the song originally as just a rock song. But I think a lot of people, when you say the name of the song, a lot of them think of this version. And I think it elevated it. And you talk about the crossover nature. I think, you know, everyone remembers the music video where they had the wall up between Aerosmith and Run DMC.
Yep.
Aerosmith's rocking out on one side. Run DMC is doing the hip-hop thing on the other side.
Yep.
And they're both yelling, keep it down over there. Keep it. And finally, they just break it
through.
They
just break the wall.
Steven Tyler going through the wall and...
Yeah, symbolism.
Changed music forever.
Symbolism, man.
Exactly.
Great stuff.
So that's why it's number 7.
Yes, sir.
Number 6, Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg, Nothing But a G Thing. Baby.
The funny thing about this song is that it's probably the most notable song on a really good album. It was on Dr. Dre's The Chronic album.
Right.
And that is by far one of the best hip hop albums of all time. In fact, he just came out with a new album, Compton, this past Friday. So
not to be confused with Chronic 2001.
Exactly. And the thing, and this is also the first time we heard Snoop. This was Snoop's introduction. Yeah. So you put these two together and it's, you know, definitely a classic jam.
I agree entirely. And there is actually a good scene in the movie Straight Outta Compton where we actually see Dre on the keyboard trying to get that opening couple notes right. And it doesn't sound quite right. And then the third time, he gets it. And the rest is history.
Oh.
So look for that in the movie.
Did not know that.
Yeah, it's pretty legendary. Okay, that was number 6. Number 5, Africa Bambaataa and the Soul Sonic Force Planet of Rock.
Okay, I have a lot I could say about this, but I'll try to keep it short. This song is especially important, and it arguably could have been number 1, because... it introduced the concept of hip-hop meets electronic funk. Mm. And as you can hear on the radio nowadays, that sound has totally come back. Every song is a dance song. Every song is rooted in deep, like, bass drums and things of that nature. And that was the first song to do that. Africa Bambaataa has been doing that since the 70s. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, I had an opportunity to interview Africa Bambaataa not too long ago. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and... he was just saying, like, it was so well before its time. Like, people just see it as a dance record, but it's a hip-hop record. That's what hip-hop was in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's an iconic song. Like, yeah. That song will never, ever go away, ever.
Absolutely. And I can't think of a song where its title says everything, because that sounds like extraterrestrial, planetary synthesizers, or I don't know what's going on in there.
This song still sounds great.
It takes you to another place.
It does.
You leave this planet. Seriously. All right, that was five. Four, NWA, Straight Outta Compton.
Yes, Straight Outta Compton.
I feel like you got to say it harder than that.
Straight Outta Compton, yeah, you got to rap it.
That one just hits you.
Yeah. The thing about Straight Outta Compton and NWA in particular is that, you know, when I was listening to it as a kid, I probably shouldn't have been listening to it as a kid.
Yeah,
but,
I would say.
You know, listening to it, you don't really understand the impact that it's going to have. You just know it's a really good song. But these guys really, really changed the course of hip hop, and you're still feeling the effects of it. Before NWA, everything was just kind of peachy keen. People were talking about their shoes and clothes and things of that nature. But they decided they're going to come through with some social commentary, and they're not going to
sugarcoat it at all.
Yeah, they're not going to sugarcoat it. They're just going to say what's going on in their community. Mm-hmm. And it really took off. And you still see people doing that to this day. Kendrick Lamar, also from California, and just pretty much everybody does that. So, yeah, Straight Outta Compton is, I would say, is their best song ever.
Yeah, they sang a lot of things in that were controversial at the time, and still relevant today.
Right.
A lot of the police brutality things I deal with, they didn't mince words on that, and it was kind of in the run up to Rodney King and the LA riots, and the social commentary was very relevant, and you could argue it still is now. And what I think was really cool about it, like looking back, knowing how big all these guys became in their solo careers with Dre and Ice Cube and Eazy-E and is just when you listen back to it, you hear them each get their own verse and they come at it really, it's like a hard charging right out of the chute, introduce themselves, named Ice Cube and then Eazy-E, and so each are given a verse here's what's going to happen over the next 40 years of rap right in this song.
Pretty much, And it's like, at the time, I didn't know it was going to be that. Mm-hmm. But listening back to it now, it's like these guys really, like, the cliche is say, oh, we changed the world, or this person changed the world. But they really did. Yeah. They changed the course of hip-hop forever.
Yeah, just pick one of them. Dre. I mean, we wouldn't have Eminem without him. We wouldn't have
Kendrick Lamar. You wouldn't have 50 Cent. You wouldn't have Snoop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Warren G. Any of these guys.
Even a lot of the Tupac, Suge Knight stuff was off of Dre's.
On Death Row.
And beats by Dre.
You
take off your headphones. You might even have the headphones you're listening to this.
There you go. That's a good point. Yeah, you're right.
But, what would you say to people that would say that they took it too far? Because they got FBI warnings and stuff back then, too.
They did.
Yeah. What's the NWA defense, I guess?
The defense is, they were still, people may have thought they took it too far, but they were still going home getting beaten up by the cops. Mm-hmm. So it's like, after a while, when you have a certain class of people just beating on your head for so many years, after a while, you just get tired.
Yeah.
You just get tired of it. And that's what happened to them. It's like, they just... You're put in a situation where you're not even given the opportunity to succeed or thrive.
Right.
And you're artistic. So that creativity, as you know, that creativity has got to come out in some way.
Yeah.
And so they just got tired of it. And so I would tell anybody, it's definitely not for the faint of heart.
Sure.
But they weren't going to mince words. And I think I commend them for that, for sure.
Absolutely. It's summed up in the opening line. You're about to experience the power of street knowledge.
Yeah.
That's what they gave us. Number three, Public Enemy, Fight the Power.
Ooh.
As a movie guy, this is the one that, I picture Spike Lee, Do the Right Thing. If you ever forget what year the movie was, they remind you, 1989, the number, another summer. And you had Rosie Perez doing the great dance. And the popping in the opening credits. But talk about this song's legendary.
It's legendary because it's a call to arms, whereas NWA, I felt like, was more so them talking about themselves. In talking about what they're going through, Public Enemy Fight the Power is more so like a hard charging song for people who are just tired of the system, who are tired of. I mean, it came out in 1989, so you got to figure people of color were really tired of Reaganomics and things of that nature, crack cocaine in the communities, poor schools, you name it. And so you could just feel people were just getting tired of these situations. And so they just finally just let it out on the record, and it just happened to be such an amazing song. And I like the fact that it's also an extended cut. Like, it goes, it just goes.
Right.
And so it's one of those that just kind of revs you up. And music has this crazy thing where it just kind of, it just kind of sticks with you, especially the songs like that. They just stick with you. So even though the song came out in 1989, you can still play it today.
Yeah, and actually, I just heard them play it at 9:30 Club. I saw them, what was it, I think 2 years ago or so. Mm-hmm. They can still do it.
They can still do
they
it.
They were still out there doing it.
Classics.
Flavor Flav had his clock on. And
hey, man, the classics. That's, you know, classic music never goes out of style.
Yeah.
It never, ever goes out of style.
It's true. And I think Fight the Power will be around as long as hip-hop's around.
Pretty much.
It'll still be played. All right. That brings us to the top two here.
Yeah.
Two, we had the Sugar Hill Gang, Rapper's Delight.
This one, okay, I'm conflicted, all right? I'm conflicted. It's like Rapper's Delight is probably the most famous hip-hop song
could
of
be number
all
one.
Time.
Could have been.
Of all time. When you go back and listen to it in hindsight, it doesn't hold up over right. the years. Like the rhyme schemes don't really...
Right.
The cadence didn't really hold up, but
you mean you can tell the datedness
it
about
sounds,
it a little
there
bit.
There you go. It sounds a little staid. Mm. So it's like, okay, you can't listen to it now, but right. at the time you cannot acknowledge that it pretty much was the birth song of
right.
hip hop. So I right. totally understand why it's number two. It needs to be number two, but me personally, I can't go back and listen to it a bunch. But
right.
you know, it's a historic song.
It's got legendary rhymes in there.
Sure.
I mean, it's and these guys. I mean, you remember Sugar Hill Gang? Remember with the what's the other song that they did? Apache Jump On
oh,
It.
Oh yeah, yeah,
Jump
yeah.
On It. The can't not think of Will Smith and Carlton doing
that's
the,
right,
the
doing
big
the
dance.
Yeah, doing
People
the dance.
Still do that dance. But yeah, I mean, Rapper's Delight, like you said, we could have put it one, but we docked it slightly because of this, I guess, because of this slight datedness you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think so. It's one of those you can't play it over the years, but you can definitely appreciate the history behind it. For sure.
Points for originality gets it at number two.
There you go.
If you invent the thing, you know, Thomas Edison's going to be up there on the light bulb list. I'm sorry.
If not number one.
Exactly. But for number one, we picked, I think, which something that has that originality thing that Sugar Hill Gang had, but
yeah.
also I think just a better song, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, The Message.
Yes. You know, long before N.W.A., long before Public Enemy, you had Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. When I think of The Message, I think about that extended verse that Melly Mel had to end the song where he it's crazy. Like when you listen to it, it's not overly complex, but he broke down inner city plight in how many minutes? Mm-hmm. And it's so perfect. Like he didn't miss anything. He pretty much took the listener from a person's life, like the beginning of their life, all the way through,
yeah.
and then just ended it. And plus, he was just rapping hard, man. Like, from a lyrical standpoint, he was just going in. So, The Message, man, that's one of those songs where that's going to hit
yeah.
regardless of what time it is. It's great now. It's going to be great in the next 30 years, the next 60 years, whatever.
Yeah.
And it came out in 82.
Yeah, and a lot of artists... have sampled the music. I know Puff Daddy did and others, but I think more artists should sample the message, the social commentary, and
yeah.
how that's done. I mean that. If you want to write a great song, try to model it after that, and you can't go wrong. I mean,
yeah, and you know the funny thing, again to the point that you brought up not too long ago, it's coming back to that.
Mm-hmm.
The first person I think of
right.
when I think new social commentary, I think Kendrick Lamar.
Kendrick Lamar, yeah.
Kendrick Lamar is like jumping head in like these guys did. And I think it's music like that that's going to last. I mean, we're still talking about The Message,
right.
and that song came out how long ago?
Right.
So the same thing with Kendrick, where it's like he's making that music,
mm-hmm.
and 30 years from now, people are going to be like, man, Kendrick Lamar, like,
yeah.
you know, that guy was great. So,
yeah.
you know, The Message, I think, set the precedent for talking about things that are relevant to you, because that's what people want to hear. People don't want to hear about your jewels and all
right.
of that all the time. They want to hear about some real stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you can make it rain. Anyone can make it rain, but
yeah.
it takes a genius to do The Message.
I mean, if you just break down and just read what he rapped,
yeah.
please.
Yeah, print it off. I mean, and just look at it that way, and it could deserve to be number one. And then you put the music to it, and I think it's a slam dunk.
Wow, yeah, it's like, man, this song's amazing.
Speaking of printing on the page, I told Marcus earlier, in college I had an African-American literature class, and this big book, it's Frederick Douglass, it's W.E.B. Du Bois, it's Alice Walker, and then the last chapter was the printed lyrics of The Message.
That says it all.
That says it all.
That says it all for that song, really.
I mean, say no more. We're going to drop the mic. Ha ha.